Hello and welcome to another episode of the Menswear Style Podcast. I'm your host, Pete Brooker. On this episode, I'm going to talk to David Henderson Stewart. He is the managing director of the Raketa Watch Factory. And I'm going to peel off a little info here from the Raketa site, which you can find, by the way, raketa.com. If you wear a Raketa mechanical watch, you are carrying on your wrist no less than 242 separate components. The manufacture of one of these watches involves the work of 103 specialists and 8,201 separate manual operations. Jesus. The factory uses traditional machines operated by men and women who give a piece of their talent and their soul to each watch that they make. So that interview with David to come, I really enjoyed it. David is a great guy, very generous with his time. And this was also a bit of a history lesson surrounding Russian culture. And we dip into the misconceptions of mechanical watches and even get to talk a little Red Heat. I have a burning question about the end of that movie that David surprisingly had an answer for. So stay tuned for that interview. That's coming shortly. Before we get to David, though, don't forget to check out the show notes at menswearstyle.co.uk and on the social at menswearstyle. All the latest fashion news. Craig, our editor, has just published an article on how to upgrade your grooming regime. He has listed some tips on beard care, shaving essentials. Let's have a look here. Hair products for men. I'll skip that. He's recommended some good ones for the beard there, though. I like that. Yeah, I use some of those when it starts to get a bit unruly on the old boat race. So check out that article and many more on menswearstyle.co.uk. And if you want to tell us about your brand and your journey, you can email the show at info@menswearstyle.co.uk. Okay, yeah, let's get to it. This is a good one. I hope you enjoy it. Here is that interview with David Henderson Stewart, Managing Director of the Raketa Watch Factory. Well, it's my great pleasure to introduce David Henderson Stewart, Managing Director of the Raketa Watch Factory. How are we doing today, David?
I'm doing very well. Thank you very much.
David, great pleasure to talk to you. Perhaps you can give us a little insight into who you are and what it is that you do.
So basically, I've lived in Russia for the past 17 years in Moscow, and I love the place. I never thought that I would stay here such a long time. And when I look back, 17 years looks long, long time, but you know, it went very quickly, and I'm really excited in living here and doing what I do.
Right. It's, so I've, as people who have listened to this podcast will know, I've got a Russian girlfriend, and a couple of years ago, I tried learning how to speak Russian. I had it on the go, on and off for about 6 months, but it's hard. I mean, it's one of the hardest ones, right?
Oh, it is hard. It's quite hard. And I still do mistakes. But I mean, I've learned the language I speak. I mean, I can say I speak fluently now. It's a very beautiful language, you know, and when foreigners listen to you, someone speaking Russian, they all say it's such a beautiful language. It's like Italian.
Yeah. Now, it's one of these languages that I hear and I just want to dip into it. It sounds really rich, but yeah, I don't know if it's because I'm in my 40s now and perhaps I'm just not giving it the attention it deserves. It's just, I can't. And also, I don't have my other half, bless her. She's not really encouraging me. You know, she's saying, look, you don't really need it. I said, okay, great. I can get on with watching Netflix then, can I?
The thing is not to start with the grammar. Grammar is very tedious and difficult. So when, you know, I have a lot of friends who moved to Russia and they've started by learning the grammar. And they stopped basically, and they never learned Russian. So you should really just start just talking to people, making a lot of mistakes. It doesn't really matter. People can still understand you.
Yeah.
And I have a lot of foreign friends who make a lot of mistakes in nearly every word, but right. They can still get along and have a conversation. And that's the most important.
I think
so. My advice is don't do the grammar. Forget about the grammar.
Just have a bash.
Yeah.
So are you from the UK originally?
Well, my father's English, my mother's French. Mm-hmm. So I've received like a French-English education.
And where did you get your, was it Oxford that you studied?
Yeah, I was in Sorbonne, I was in Oxford. I did both.
Okay. And how did you then transition, or what did you take from your studies into your profession now?
Well, I read law. So I'm a lawyer. I did 6 years of law in a US law firm, you know, mergers and acquisitions. That was a lot of long hours, long weekends, and I hated the job. I mean, now when I look back on it, I can't believe I did that. But then I moved to Russia more in business, and then I got really bored of that also. And I really wanted to do something, you know, interesting that I could be proud of. And that's how I discovered the watch business. And hey,
yeah. So this is what I'm interested in. So you have an interest in watches. Where do you start looking first, or is it something that falls onto your lap?
No. I had absolutely no interest in watches. And I still remember the moment when 9 years ago, someone explained to me the difference between a quartz watch and a mechanical watch. I honestly didn't know the difference. And that was after the time I went into Raketa. So I decided to go into the watch business in Raketa, knowing nothing about watches. I was more interested in the brand, in the idea of repositioning a very old Soviet brand. That was the angle that I liked. I knew nothing about watches. It just so happened that it was watches. It could have been porcelain. It could have been fashion, anything else. It was just a coincidence that it was in watches. I just liked the idea of the brand itself.
So the history and the romance of the brand. Maybe you can just give us a little thumbnail sketch of that, please, if you don't mind.
Absolutely. So I lived in Russia, and I was always amazed. You know, Russia has an amazing culture, a very rich history, and a lot of know-how and traditions and legacy, you know, all of the things on which, you know, high-end brands are based on. You know, if you think of Hermes, Louis Vuitton, Russia has all of that, but doesn't have any brands. And I was always surprised by that. You know, you have a very famous Russian brand called Fabergé, for example. But Fabergé he ran away from Russia in 1917 during the revolution, because Russia has a very chaotic history that was very destructive of brands, you know.
Right.
But Russia has all the foundations to build a really cool brand based on traditions, legacy, know-how, craftsmanship, and all of that culture. And I thought, wow, I'd love to build a brand based on all of that. And then I noticed that a lot of my friends coming to visit me wanted to buy Soviet watches. So I discovered that there was something about Soviet watches. I knew nothing about it. So I discovered that the Soviet Union had a lot of watch factories, and none of them survived the difficult times, you know, the perestroika, the 90s, the transition from a Soviet economy to capitalist economy. And only one factory survived, and that was the Raketa watch factory in St. Petersburg. So I took a plane, I visited the factory, and I saw, wow, you know, incredible history. They kept all the machines. They still produced their own mechanical movements. They had a lot of iconic models that seems to be quite famous amongst collectors worldwide. And it was just, it was like a diamond lying on the floor, which I just picked it up. Because at that time, 10 years ago, no one wanted it. I mean, Russians were not at all interested in Russian brands.
Wow.
That was a time when Russian women wanted to marry, you know, Americans. All the Russian guys wanted to work in England. Everyone wants to leave Russia.
Right.
And even my closest Russian friends said, you know, David, you know, we like you very much, but you'll never see us wearing Russian watches. It's totally uncool, you know. we have to wear, you know, Swiss brands, not Russian watches.
So,
that's how I started.
So that's fascinating. So you go into the factory, I presume, you start paying some visits, and then who do you speak to down there? Is it the people on the ground floor? Is it whoever's around, the CEOs at the time?
No, I was totally naive. I mean, I thought, you know, my technical order to the factory was limited to picking up a watch, and it did tick-tock, 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 and the hands kind of moved on the dial, and I thought, wow, it's cool, it works. I'll just redo the design, I'll just do a bit of marketing, and, you know, I'll be very successful. I mean, obviously, the truth was very, very different.
Right. And so you've inherited the brand, or you've adopted this brand. What are the next steps then? Do you have to then take on the world? Are you kind of trying to change the narrative, or are you trying to let people know about the rich history of Raketa? How does it work?
Yeah, well, there's no nostalgia towards the past, you know. Where Raketa brand was created in 1961 when Gagarin went into space, the first man to go into space. That was such a big event that the Soviets decided to create a watch brand named Raketa in honor of his flight. So Raketa means in Russian a space rocket.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Yeah. So next year we're going to celebrate the 60th anniversary of the brand, because it will be 60 years. And so we're super proud of the history and of all the iconic models. And all of our modern models are inspired by old Soviet models. But we're very much a brand that is a modern Russian brand that looks, you know, towards the future. So basically the biggest problem at the beginning was the factory itself. We never realized, I mean, I never realized how much time, energy, resources I would have to put into modernizing this factory, because, making watches is much more difficult than making any of the products that you have in your house, for example.
Yeah.
A watch, if it doesn't work, the client notices it immediately, you know. If you buy a defective knife or a defective fork, for example, you never notice the defects. A watch, you'll notice it immediately.
Right.
There's no way you can fool your client. So, and that there's a reason why so few Swiss brands make their own mechanical movements. You know, 95% of the brands that you know in Switzerland do not make their own watches. They just do design and marketing, but all the production is outsourced. They buy the mechanical movements from wherever they buy it from. They buy the cases. They kind of assemble the whole thing. It's just, there's a reason for that. Making mechanical movements is extremely complicated. It's like, right. it's nearly as complicated as sending a rocket into space.
Huh. And so, yeah. I guess that's reason partly why there's only one factory going in Russia as well, because it's just so much harder to do. So where do they outsource it then?
You mean in Switzerland?
Yeah. Where do they normally go?
Yeah. Well, you know, the biggest, 95% of the brands, they buy it from Swatch. Swatch Group makes all the mechanical movements. So most likely all the mechanical watches that you know, that they buy their movement from Swatch.
Because they were one of the brands that really revived the movement industry, the mechanical watch industry,
yeah,
right, after
exactly,
the quartz
exactly.
crisis. So,
yeah. So Swatch basically has nearly a big monopoly of the production in Switzerland. Otherwise, you know, most of it is made in China.
Right. People don't know that. No one in it.
No. So basically, after a year, I realized, wow, I mean, it will be very complicated. And at some point, I thought, let's just, you know, shut the factory and do like everyone else. You know, you buy somewhere else, you import it, and you kind of assemble it, and you just write made in Russia, and you pretend it's Russian made. But then we took the decision to keep the factory, because the factory really is the soul of the project. And this is what really makes our watches unique, is because we make our own mechanical movements for our own brands. And this is something that very few brands do, like Rolex does it, and a few other brands, really high-end brands, do that in Switzerland, but that's it. You can count them on the tip of your fingers. And this makes our brand very, very unique. So we decided to keep the factory.
Right, okay. And I want to know about the Galgari watch. So the first one, is there like an archive or like a museum where this one is housed? Do you know how many were made?
I'm sorry, what watch is that?
So the first one that you mentioned, I guess I'm screwing the name up. The Gagarin.
Gagarin. Yeah, no. He's just the guy who flew into space. He was the first guy they sent into space.
Right.
So Raketa always made, from that moment on, we always made watches for cosmonauts, and we still make watches for cosmonauts. Actually, yeah. We have a super cool watch that we made in collaboration with a guy called Sergei Krikalev. He's like the most legendary cosmonaut living today. He went 7 times up into space. He spent 2.5 years in space.
Wow.
And he was the guy who was stranded in space when the Soviet Union collapsed. So basically, he was in a station Mir, that was a Soviet space station. And when the Soviet Union collapsed, the next morning, instead of having one country, there were 5 countries, you know, Ukraine, Belarus,
wow.
Russia, Kazakhstan. And no one knew who had the responsibility to take the guy down. And no one had the money to take him down also, because to take him down, you have to send a rocket up.
This sounds like the Terminal with Tom Hanks, but in outer space.
Yeah. So people started collecting funds worldwide to help him, to bring him down. So the poor guy, he had to stay 6 additional months in space. Okay, eventually Russia took him down. So he knows better than anyone else what kind of watch cosmonauts need. So
right.
Together with him, we did this really cool watch, which we called Raketa Baikonur. It's a watch for cosmonauts.
That is awesome. And is that ready to buy? Is that available? Absolutely. That's on the website. So going through the website, I mean, there's so many awesome designs on here. I'm just going to, and we can leave a link to the show notes, by the way. People can get to raketa.com to find these, raketa.com for those unfamiliar. But I'm in love with, I'll tell you which one I'm in love with, is the one where you go to the history section from 1980. The factory produces the official watches of the Soviet Olympic Games. Now, I love the look. People have got to go see this. It looks like it has like a perforated bezel. And then you've got the Olympics ring, but kind of on the nine. So it's off center and it just looks beautiful and vintage. Is that the kind of theme for the brand, is to kind of call upon the vintage looks?
Yeah, I mean, Raketa watches have a very strong identity. We do things that people in Switzerland don't do. For example, I'll just give you a few examples.
Please.
On the dial, we always have a zero instead of having a 12. You know, someone decided in Switzerland that on the top of the dial should always have a 12.
Right.
And the Raketa always has a zero. And I asked my guys at the factory, you know, who took the decision to put a zero instead of a 12?
And they said,
it's just more logical, you know. Do you start counting from 12? Do you count 12, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5? No, you don't. You just do count. Time starts at zero. 0, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. It's just more logical. Very much goes down to, that's really the Russian mentality. Russians do simple things, not complicated things. So if time starts at zero, then why put a 12? You know, you put a zero.
it's kind of backwards.
Now, yeah. So we also have really cool designs with, you know, everyone has very straight hands on the dial. We have round hands, triangular hands. Did you see that?
Yeah, I'm looking at them now. Oh, yeah.
So that's really cool. We also have watches that show not 12 hours on the dial, but 24 hours. Like, for example, the watch for cosmonauts will show you 24 hours instead of 12 hours.
Okay.
There's a very simple reason for that. It's when you're in space, like now, imagine it's, you know, 5 o'clock in the afternoon. I know it's 5 o'clock in the afternoon because I look through the window and I see it's light. If it were dark, it would be 5 o'clock at night, right? In space, you can't look through the window. So you need a special movement that makes the hour hands turn 20 in 24 hours around the dial.
So it shows
either 5 o'clock in the morning or 17 o'clock in the afternoon.
And also, if you're talking to a military man and he's always going, yeah, I'll see you at 16:00, you know, someone like me is not going to get that unless I look at a watch.
yeah. So we also have another model that's really cool, that's where all the hands go backwards.
Tell me about that.
Yeah. Well, that's so Raketa means a space rocket, right? So in the DNA for Raketa, you have space. Cosmos is very important for us and for Russian people. And one day we realize, and you can check on Wikipedia what I'll tell you now, is all the planets turn around the sun counterclockwise. And even the moon turns around the Earth counterclockwise. So we thought, hey, the counterclockwise movement is the most natural movement in our solar system. So why did someone decide in Switzerland or in, you know, that the hands should go against the natural movement in the solar system? So let's do a watch that moves in harmony with the solar system. We made the mechanical movement that makes all the hands go anti-clockwise. And we thought, you know, that will be a talking piece, but no one will ever buy it. So, and it became the number one of our sales in Russia and outside Russia last year.
I'm looking
at it. It's just the storytelling is so cool.
Yeah. I'm looking at a picture of it now, and it's so...
It takes you like two days to get you to get the hang of it.
Yeah, I bet.
But then it becomes very normal.
And so what's the next phase for Raketa watches now? I mean, where are you looking to kind of point your guns, so to speak, in terms of marketing?
Well, basically, I mean, we sell very well in Russia. We started exporting 2 years ago. So we have a few shops in France. We sell through internet all around the world. Basically, we have to get the story out, you know. What's very special about the Raketa is that it's very much a handcrafted, you know, we don't have any of the CNC machines. All the operations, all the components are made by hand. So every like specialist puts a bit of his soul into every component that he makes. So it's very much handcrafted. It's very old school production technology.
And it's so like you got about 103 specialists, right, working on any given watch at a time.
Yeah, so it's you have a lot of specialists, and it's very complicated to make mechanical movements. But that's why, mechanical watches, it's luxury basically. When you realize how complicated it is, you realize, it's a piece of art, really. And so when you see all these guys, assembling all of these components, and suddenly the watch goes, it's like it's magic.
Yeah,
because there's no battery, there's no chips, there's no electronics in it. It's just pieces of metal, and then you assemble the very last piece, and suddenly the hands start turning, and that's magic.
It sounds like David, there's a lot more emotion in your voice now than there would have been, say, 10 years ago when you knew nothing about watches and going into.
Oh, definitely. And being a watchmaker is very much a passion. You cannot be a watchmaker and not be passionate about what you do. And watches are very much about emotions. It's very human project. Like if you go back to the counterclockwise watch, why do people buy it? It's not so much to read the time. It's just because its storytelling is so cool.
Yeah.
And the watch is beautiful and it's handcrafted. And so people buy it because it generates so much emotion.
Yeah.
And you're at a dinner party and you ask a neighbor, do you know how to read the time on the watch? And the guy says, yeah, of course. And you show him your watch and then you look at his face and he becomes all red. He can't read the time properly. It's really cool.
Are you hands-on with the designs at all?
Yeah. We do everything in-house. We do the design, the marketing, everything. Yeah. We have a marketing team. We have designers. All of our designs are inspired by old Soviet designs.
But we haven't really invented
anything. Oh, yeah. I have designers. Obviously, I have my word to say on everything.
Right.
But we have really good designers and we have a really cool team.
That's fascinating.
And if ever you come to Russia, you can you're most welcome to come and visit the factory and our creative studio, our designer team. It's really, really interesting.
I'm going to be taking you up on that. No doubt about that. So, well, listen, it's been a great pleasure talking to you. Thanks for giving me such an insight into the brand. The watches look beautiful, by the way. Do you have a personal favorite amongst them, either in like the modern range or something from days gone by?
Well, the two watches I love the most, and I talked about them, it's a watch for cosmonauts. That's a really cool watch. And obviously the counterclockwise. I love that one. It's just so special. It's a really cool watch. And the movement is actually, everyone thinks it's so easy to make the hands go counterclockwise. It took us a year to do that. Wow. It took us a year to tweak around the mechanical movements to make the hands go counterclockwise. It's very, very difficult.
Wow. And no one else. Yeah. I mean, I guess you have to take everything and kind of invert it. Very Tenet, as we were speaking about off mic. Everything's in reverse.
Yeah. And this is something you can only do if you produce your own mechanical movements. You can't go on the market to buy a mechanical movement like all the other brands do and disassemble it and change some important parts in it. It's just impossible. You can only do that if you produce your own movement and you have all the technical drawings and you can change them.
Yeah. Sorry, go on.
No, I love every single watch we produce, but like today, I would say, yeah, these are my two favorites.
Oh, well, they're stunning pieces. David, I've got a question for you, and it's only just come to mind, but at the end of Red Heat, with Arnold Schwarzenegger and James Belushi, they've become friends at the end, and Arnold Schwarzenegger eyes up Belushi's watch and says, it's customary where I come from in Russia that we exchange watches as a sign of friendship. And so like he passes off his like 50-pound knockoff Casio or whatever it was he's wearing, and James Belushi gives him his like beautiful kind of heirloom piece. Now, is that a myth? Is that a tradition over there in Russia?
No, it's not a myth. There is a tradition in Russia to offer watches as a distinction, as a present, as a gift.
Oh, wow.
It existed already, I was told, at the time of the emperors. And it existed during the Soviet period. And still today, Russians offer watches a lot. Yeah.
Wow. So yeah, they were actually spot on in the end. At the end
of
Red Heat.
I knew.
When was the last time you saw Red Heat?
Oh, a long time ago. I've stopped watching, you know, all these Hollywood movies because the badges are always the Russian guys. So,
tell me about it. Yeah, it's a well. If anything, though, at least sometimes we get to see some beautiful parts of Russia. I mean,
yeah. You know. Well, then, if you see Russian movies, and most of the time, also the badges are the Americans. So.
Ah, okay, that's interesting. Do you know what though? I mean, I've like I say, my girlfriend she plants me in front of the telly every now and again and says, look, you know, if you really want to see a good historical war movie, it's got to be in Russian. You know, you can't see these kind of perfectly glitzed up American films. They don't give you the correct insights. It doesn't look right. You have to get in the weeds with some of these stories.
No, it is true. I mean, Russians do very, very good movies. Unfortunately, you never see them outside Russia because obviously it's in Russian and Russian actors. So there's no chance they'll ever become blockbusters outside Russia. But they do very, very good war movies. That's perfectly true because... they've experienced firsthand, you know, the Second World War, so they know a lot about the war. So they do some very realistic, very good movies about war. That's true, especially the Second World War.
Is there any that you can recommend?
Oh, no, I'm trying to think. You know, all the titles are in Russian, so I kind of get them. And to tell you the truth, I don't watch so much Russian movies.
Okay.
Yeah.
But they are out there. They should be thought out.
Well, you know what? You know, I live in Russia, so I speak Russian all day long at work. So when I come home, I like to watch, you know, good American series or...
Oh, yeah. What are you watching at the minute?
I just finished watching The Crown.
Oh, yeah.
Which is such a good series. I love it.
Yeah,
the actors are so fantastic.
Are they just introducing Princess Di into this? In this series, is that the latest?
Apparently,
one?
Yes. I haven't seen that one yet.
Ah, right. So you're catching up with the old ones.
Yeah.
Interesting. Well, listen, David, thanks so much for jumping on and giving us such a colourful insight into the brand. I will certainly be taking you up on your offer when I come over to Russia. I'll be knocking on your door. But remember me, and then I'll hand over my crappy Timex and take one of your beautiful watches off your wrist, as is customary in your country. And in the meantime, take care of yourself.
Thank you very much.
Well, how about that? David, what a nice guy. And even off mic, we talked about 15 minutes or more from Ghost Protocol and Rocky IV. You know, all of my go-to Russian films. And if you ever cross paths with David, have him tell you the story behind the Russian Olympic watch that we mentioned in the interview there. There's an entire movie that can be made around that watch. Fascinating stuff. Anyway, make sure you're supporting the good guys and head over to Raketa.com. Treat yourself or your loved one to a watch and, you know, a slice of history there. In the meantime, thanks for tuning in. If you like what you're hearing, leave a review. It does help our egos here. And until next time.